Jeremiah chapter 43. Jeremiah chapter 43. Juan, if you're watching this, I'll try to remember to text you. If Antonio is having our Bible study this Friday at 7, you're on your own. There's a lost guy meeting me at 6:45, so he takes precedent. I know Antonio's lost, but you can handle him and his family. So I got to remember these messages. I'm very disorganized, and so I try to be organized. My calendar's organized, but I forget to tell everybody else what my calendar looks like. You're supposed to know. You're supposed to know. Jeremiah 43, let's read this chapter. Here we are. In fact, let's look at Jeremiah 42. We have this crew, these Israelites that were patriots. They cared for the remnant that was left. Now, the remnant that was left was relatively ragtag. They were unimpressive. That's why they weren't killed. That's why they weren't taken captive. And they were just left. And now, Nebuchadnezzar was kind. He didn't completely destroy the land. He left some vineyards. He left some olive trees so that they could live. But there were a few soldiers, guerrilla soldiers, that had survived and had hidden in the wilderness. And Johanan's kind of the leader of them. And long story, he rescues this group after they were captured again. And they come to Jeremiah in chapter 42, and Johanan has this plan already. We're going to go to Egypt, but let's check with the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, Jeremiah, we want you to talk to the Lord and see what God has to say about this. So 10 days later, let's look at Jeremiah 42. Look at verse 9. Jeremiah 42, verse 9. And Jeremiah said unto them, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. Verse 10. If you will still abide in this land, if you'll stay in Israel, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Now verse 13. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, then he gives a negative pronouncement. Now let's jump down to verse 19. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. So the Lord was very clear through his servant, through his spokesperson, Jeremiah. He said, don't go to Egypt. And he'll even explain one of those reasons in Jeremiah 43 why he said, don't go to Egypt. Now let's look at Jeremiah 43. This is how do the leaders of this small remnant respond? They said, Jeremiah, go talk to God, see what God wants. Well, Jeremiah, 10 days later, comes back. This is what the Lord says. Don't go to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, you will get slaughtered and destroyed just like the folks that were here that did not surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, verse 1 of chapter 43. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Now, let's hear the response. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men. Oh, doesn't really bode well if you're called that. Saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch. Now Baruch, this poor guy, I mean, he is kind of the scribe that is used of God to be a helper to Jeremiah that would pen the scriptures with Jeremiah, and Baruch gets blamed. You're going to find it's really interesting when we get back to Baruch. Oh, woe is me. This guy starts feeling sorry for himself too, even though he has not gone through it like Jeremiah has. But they say, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Verse 4. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. Even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, same name for Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan is the captain, excuse me, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they to Tahpenes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah. Tahpenes is kind of the easternmost portion of Egypt. And if I don't remember to say this, it's kind of like, 10 kinds of stupid, right? So if there's a little concern that Jeremiah might be right, and you understand where Babylon would be coming from to conquer Egypt, I would have gone to the westernmost portion of Egypt, just at least to, make it a little bit more difficult, or maybe have a warning. What's interesting is archaeology has validated that Nebuchadnezzar did come in and did destroy Egypt, because there was debate through the centuries that Babylon didn't come into Egypt and destroy it. And then what's even more interesting, where do you think he did the most damage and destruction? In the eastern portion of Egypt, right? And so Ron, there's not been archaeology yet that says Tahpenes, right? But I'm sure there's a stone somewhere that'll cry out to the Lord, right? So then let's look at verse 8. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah and Tahpenes, saying, take great stones in thine hand and hide them in the clay of the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tahpenes, in the sight of the men of Judah. Now, just to be clear, because there's criticism, just like, if you're in business, you might have offices at different locations. Well, Pharaoh had palaces in many, many cities, and that's what this is dealing with. It doesn't have to be his prime location. I think some people just like to attack the Bible. But he tells Jeremiah, he says, take great stones and hide them at the entry of Pharaoh's house here at Tahpenes in the sight of the men of Judah. Verse 10, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt. Again, this is interesting. Almost perfect timing for those of you that are in the old adult Sunday school class. It is, we're talking about God and the plagues of Egypt, how he is specifically making a statement and striking out against the gods of Egypt, how useless they are, how they cannot help in time of need, how they couldn't help at any time, but you make things up. When things are going well, you can credit anybody. You can say the God of the dust. But it's the God of the universe that brings all good. The Bible tells us that every good thing is from the Father of lights. But when things are going good, you can credit any God. But when things are going bad, see, the Bible helps explain even the things that are terribly confusing. But again, God is striking out, and I want to tell you this, I think it's mercy. It's mercy that he shows the uselessness of the gods of Egypt. Not only for Egypt, but for all the world. Because the world might look and say, maybe they're gods, maybe they have something with that. And God strikes out against them, and it's for his glory, but I think it's for the benefit of man. Now, verse 12. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them. This is what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. And carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt, as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. Title of the message tonight, How to Make a Mess of Things. I title the message because here you have... a disaster. you've got this ragtag group of people. And I'll just tell you this, this group of people were so pathetic that it looks like Nebuchadnezzar was right when he said, leave them. None of them had the courage, the faith in God to stand up against Johanan. And I'm not saying, you know, there comes a point where I'm not even saying Jeremiah was wrong. He submitted to what I believe to be like basically kidnapping, right? Because he uses the word, he took them. Do you always have to fight? No, but none of them did. And so he could kind of rule them and tell them what to do. And here this guy, Johanan, and you've got Azariah, you've got a few others, and they're taking leadership and they do everything that's wrong. How to make a mess of things. First, it's respond to God's instruction. There's five things that I saw. Maybe we could see more. Five things I see how they responded incorrectly. Now, this is important. I do look at the Bible this way. I want us to understand the what, but I think the so what. I'll tell you this. This is so relevant for us. It's 2,600 years ago, but man has not changed. I am Johanan. I don't want to be. I think I have a better idea than God. I think Steve can handle it. I'll let you know if I need help. I many times go into spiritual things or I go into many things and I forget to ask the help and the aid of God. I at least forget to acknowledge I can do nothing without you. That's Johanan in me. That's me saying, I'll let you know when I need you. I never say that to God, but I do with my attitude and my spirit when I go without acknowledging that I need him. And so I want you to see how they responded to God's instruction. And it was all wrong. First thing I saw was they responded in haste. I mean, you know, it probably would take me to read Jeremiah 42, and Jeremiah 42 gives a lot of commentary. If it was just what Jeremiah said, it would probably not take 1 minute. For Jeremiah to proclaim what the Lord told him, it would be less than 1 minute. I think you could time me. I don't think I have to read that fast. So here these guys are. They supposedly said, go ask God. They knew the right guy to ask. They knew the guy that over 30, 40 years had proven himself to be in touch with God because what he had pronounced came true every time. And so they asked Jeremiah to go talk to God, and Jeremiah gives them the pronouncement of God. I think it'd be less than 1 minute. Boom! You're wrong! You're a liar! You don't know what you're talking about! I'm telling you, be careful. We can always, it'd be best to bite your tongue and say, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to sleep on it. And I'll let you know where I'm at in the morning. I promise you this. You should, you know, have you ever been to a timeshare presentation? How many of you have been to timeshare presentations, right? Timeshare presentations. You should never go to a timeshare presentation. You just talk to me, okay? I've been to probably 60 or 70 of them, okay? I make tons of money on them, okay? But I don't do them anymore. Don't do them anymore. Just my wife has, she had a limit, 65 or something like that. Nuts, right? But I would calculate this, right? If you could make $400 after tax an hour, because I would say, well, you guys are giving me an amazing amount of tickets. Because I wouldn't do anyway. But so there's a point to this. There's a point to this. So they would ask me if you've been to the timeshare presentations, right? They would say, Mr. Hall, you love your family? I do, you know. Do you want to, you know, have your family take wonderful vacations, make great memories with your family? And, you know, yes, of course, you want to do all that. And, you know, so then they would start to turn the screws, right? And then they would give you the first number, right? Well, we're going to give you this. Don't say this out loud. $35,000. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, before they're done, they're like, somebody just died. I mean, it happened to me so many times, I could almost do it. If you've been to one, how many of you have been to a timeshare presentation where they said somebody got an estate sale, right? So somebody just died and they're getting rid of their timeshare. Please do not tell anybody what we're offering this to you for. And I would tell him this. I would say, well, if you're telling me that this deal won't be available tomorrow, I have committed to God that I will never make a major financial decision without sleeping on it. And if I can't sleep on it tonight and be able to make the same decision tomorrow, I said, the answer is no, and you'll never move me off that decision. I said, so I know everybody's here for the gift. I said, but I've done this many times. And I said, I'm not going to do it. My point is, you're probably thinking, Steve, you're terrible for doing all these timeshare presentations. I was just the judgment of God for people that weren't doing right. I'm the but I want to tell you this. It's sort of my mentality. I want you to know this. You have major decisions to make. Don't be hasty. I want to tell you, if you're married, God gave you a spouse. He'll give you both peace. He will give you peace. My wife isn't yet have peace about, spending 9 months or so on the mission field in some future time period. Well, I am confident of this. She will have peace. No, but I'm confident of this. If it's what God wants us to do, she will not only have peace, but she'll delight in it. He's made us one flesh, and I trust in that, and it's a big deal to me. So get with it, honey. And I want you to know this. You may disagree. You may not like some things. Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you seek the scriptures? But I've been around long enough. I see people make hasty decisions. And this usually happens. I've had this happen. I now ask this. I had this guy come to me and goes, hey, what do you think about leasing a car? I mean, I trashed leasing cars so bad. And he goes, oh, I wish you'd have told me that before I leased. I'm like, oh, you should. So now what I ask people, I said, have you leased? I said, well, I won't trash it as badly. I'll go, now that you've made the decision, now we say, how do we make a decision and make the best of it? Right? That's kind of the point. So it is, but I want you to understand this. Pray, seek the Lord, seek the counsel of others. There's no rush. God will give you peace, and he'll give you the confidence. There may be specific direction in his word. There may be principles in his word that'll help you. If all of a sudden you ask 3, 4, 5 people that you respect spiritually and they all have the same perspective, I think you probably ought to take notice. Now, if they're recommending something that's sinful, then obviously ignore that. But the haste which with these guys, see, it would tell me they knew the answer before Jeremiah gave them the answer. They were just looking for God to confirm, and they thought they were so arrogant that they thought they were so right that of course God would agree with this great plan. And God didn't agree with that great plan. And if they would have known anything historically, they would have known that going to Egypt was not a good thing. Second, I want you to see, they responded to God's instruction in pride. I highlighted this when I read it. Look at verse 2. Then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men. You see, 10 days. Hey, Jeremiah, go ask the Lord what he'd like us to do. What do you think they're talking about over those 10 days? Going to Egypt. Get ready to go to Egypt. Oh, I know God's going to tell us we're going to Egypt. Going to Egypt. You know, I'm telling you what, the more I talk about this, I'm not worrying about this. Let me just tell you. You know what guys will tell me? They're saying, I'm called to preach. Called to preach. You know what? Here's what I want you to have confidence in. If you're called to preach, you'll preach. Okay? Don't you worry about it. God got Jonah, he'll get you. But I want you to tell you this. I've met many men, they say, well, I thought God called me to preach, and they're 50 years old, and he said, I've just failed God. I said, God didn't call you to preach. They're like, what? I said, you'd have been preaching if he called you to preach. I said, so stop beating yourself up about that. I said, just suck in your pride and say, I might have been wrong. Okay? And trust the Lord with all that. You see this, we have to admit we're wrong. Let's just say my wife's right. It does make me nervous. I'm like, come on, man, let's have peace here soon. And so, you know, I want to do some things. And it's going to be years. Guys know all that. Some of this is, I think I know what I'm going to do when I grow up. And maybe that's not God's plan. I keep telling you all about that, then I'm like, 80 years old, you'd be like, huh. Mr. smoke blower. You know what I need to do? I need to say, well, you know, God's name is Deb. No, I'm just kidding. But it's I don't think that's what God wants me to do. Understand this. Pride gets in our way. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, right? Let's not let my pride get in the way, your pride get in the way. These guys had pumped up Egypt because I think that the inclination of these people would be like, we came back. Remember, they all came from all corners of the land to reunite in Israel. They didn't seem to be so concerned about Nebuchadnezzar. I know then Gedaliah was killed, and so maybe that would like tick Nebuchadnezzar off, but God said, no, I'm going to actually put mercy on his heart. And so pride. Beg God. Oh God, I beg God. I have no idea why I do what I do. I'm just going to keep doing what I know God wants me to do. Most likely, I do everything for the wrong reason. That's not good. I want to do it because I love Jesus. I want to do it because I want to glorify God. I'm going to tell you this. Pride eats me like a cancer. And I have to fight it. I have to learn from stories just like this. Steve, you've said that 100 times. Swallow your pride and say you were wrong. We need to be able to do that. It's not that tough. You know, people, they don't think that high, they don't think that much of any of us in here, right? They just say, I was wrong. And that's what these guys should have said. You know what? I'm sorry. We've been talking about Egypt for 10 days. I was wrong. God's right. Oh, but that's hard to do, right? God's always right. Most of the time, we're wrong. Third thing is, they responded to God's instruction in error. Here's what they said. Look at this. They said this in verse 2. Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Oh, yes, he did. You know, this is terrible, and I have to look back at my own life. When do I sound like the devil? Yea, hath God said? Oh, you won't die. When do I sound like the devil? Let me tell you this. These guys were just sounding just like the devil at the Garden of Eden. They said, God didn't tell you that. Now, here's the beautiful thing. This happens all the time. We have the completed Word of God. We have Bibles galore. We have them in our homes. It doesn't take that much to find out what God generally wants. I know there are things in life. Where do you live? What job do you have? Who do I marry? All those things, right? But I'm going to tell you this. He gives a lot of instruction behind that. You want to talk marriage? Don't marry an unbeliever. So you know what that would mean? Don't date an unbeliever. Duh, right? I mean, if you don't want to get burnt, don't play with fire. Why would you date anybody if you aren't thinking about marrying them? And so you bring somebody in here and you're dating them, I'm telling them, they're thinking about marrying you. Did you know that? What? He called me. He said, I can't wait to introduce you to her. He said, I've already bought the ring. I'm just kidding. I just saw you on Facebook 2 days ago. I have no idea who you are, but I knew Jacob has a girlfriend, and we're excited about that because we never thought he would. Just terrible. You need to go visit another church when you're here because Jacob's like, I can't believe this. I thought he was pale before, and now all the blood's left his face. But, just so you know, you shouldn't date unless you think you might marry each other. And the minute you think you won't marry them, break it off. Freebie, just for coming to Ohio. But I want to tell you, God gives us a lot of instruction. He does. Seek the Word of God. We say a lot of stupid things. We think a lot of stupid things. We need the Bible. We need God's wisdom. We need God's insight. And they said, he didn't tell you that. And you're like, well, the Bible says this right here. And so they responded to God's instruction in error and pride and haste. And they responded, I'll say, in slander. I could have said, in blaming someone else. They then said this. They blamed Baruch. I mean, I don't know where that comes from, but poor Baruch's just sitting there writing the book of Jeremiah. I'm like, what? And so, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, set a theon against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans. And so, it's like this. It's like, my guess is, I'm making all this up because the Bible didn't tell us. But the remnant would have probably liked Jeremiah, because they saw that everything Jeremiah said came true. And so if you put all this on Jeremiah, I'm going to have a tough time believing you, Johanan. So what they do is, oh, you don't like Pipsqueak Baruch. Yeah, Baruch gets on your nerves, doesn't he? So I'm going to blame Baruch. And you'll be like, yeah, Baruch, yeah, he is kind of a snothead. I can see him. He spends a lot of time with Jeremiah. Yeah, I've never liked Baruch. I like Jeremiah. But you know who you hang around will influence you. And that Baruch, he probably is the guy behind Jeremiah not thinking right. I don't know what the objective was. But I want to tell you, red flag when people start talking about others. Let me tell you, Christians, when should we be talking negatively about other people to others? Never. Somebody comes up to you and they start saying, ran, 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 doesn't matter if it's true or not. Red flag, can they be right with God? Right? Immediately they should have known enough to go, wait a minute, why are you talking about Baruch? Because I'm trying to divert the focus. You're going to do what I want, and I'm going to have a million reasons why you shouldn't listen to God. So just be careful. Be careful that we don't get caught up in the old slanderous gossip and blaming and accusing other people of things, right? I don't know how often this happens. Nobody ever comes up to me and tells me anything, which probably is good, because I'd probably be like, what? And so I probably wouldn't be. I wish I'd be like this. I wish I'd be, well, let's go talk to him. Well, let's go talk to him, right? I'll go, Rob, this is what people are saying about you. And, you know, but that would be the best thing, right? But, man, nobody wants to do that. They just want to be like, I know something you don't know. And it ought to be a red flag that says, sister, brother, is something wrong in your heart? Because I think God would not have us talk negative about people without them in our presence. I'm not asking you to try to be holier than thou. I'll just tell you this. I don't know of any of it going on, so I'm not I try to preach the Bible. Let me just tell you this. Don't talk negatively about anybody. Show me the scripture that says we ought to talk negatively about anybody. When somebody's talking negatively, and I'll tell you this, I can get caught up in it just as well. We like to blame women for all the gossip. Let me tell you this, we're stealth gossipers, men. Oh, yeah? Oh, huh, very interesting. And, you know, we may not lift up the phone calls, right? But we can be just as guilty. When you give your ear, you're promoting gossip. You're promoting slander. Just not ought to be part of it. It ought to be a red flag. These are just red flags. They should have begun to see this. They're like, wait a minute. What are you talking about this guy for? How do you know Baruch? I mean, that would be a legitimate question. What makes you think Baruch would do that? He's been with Jeremiah all this time. I don't know how long he'd been with him, but the Bible speaks of him being with him for quite some time. Fifth thing I want you to see, they respond to God's instruction in presumption. Look at this, and this is what they say. He says, look at verse 3. He said, Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. They presumed that the instruction of Jeremiah was for their hurt. I want to tell you, that's what most people think, and we carry that from our lost years, and we carry that from the spirit of Christians. God's commandments are for our good. It's not for our bad. Everything that he instructs us is for our good. It's not because he's like, it's really, really good. I just don't want you to enjoy it. But that's the spirit we have, isn't it? That's the spirit that Johanan had. He said, oh, you liar. You're telling us this so we get slaughtered. I will tell you, I've said that Johanan's a patriot. I will tell you the greatest patriot that we've read about in the book of Jeremiah is Jeremiah, because he put God first, but he loved his people. You understand that? We ought to love our people, but not above God. Jeremiah, faithful man, but he's just a man. But do you see this? I want to tell you this. We should learn. You don't like something you hear? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my spirit's wrong. That would be a terrible thing. It would be misrepresenting God. But don't respond in haste, don't respond in pride, don't respond in error, don't respond in slander, and don't respond with presumption. Understand this, everything about God is good. Everything that God instructs us for is our good. And they didn't understand that. Then just the obvious, I want you to see how to make a mess of things, disobeying the voice of the Lord. Look at verse 4. It says it in verse 4. It says it in verse 7. Look at verse 4. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Look at verse 7. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they to Tahpenes. Now I want you to understand this. You know how it's easy for you to ignore the preaching of God's word? Is when you say, Steve said this. I'm nobody. You can say, Steve. Who is Steve? Well, I will tell you this. I will be held accountable. And you better study and you better examine what I say. You should not just swallow what I say. But if what I say is consistent with the word of God, I will tell you this, it's not from my voice box, but it is the message of God. Can you agree with that? I'm uncomfortable even what I'm saying here. I will be held accountable. It says, be not many masters, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. It is but the message of God. Don't put it on man. You can ignore me. I can be mad at my wife, but I'm really mad at God. You see, we have to understand that. When you ignore the message of the preacher, if it's consistent with the word of God, you're ignoring the voice of God. Again, I'm not putting myself in the place of God. Do you understand that? You know, the blasphemy of the Pope, that, you know, the Latin word, I can't remember the Latin word, that means vicar of Christ, that he claims he's in place of Jesus Christ. That is blasphemy. That's not what I'm saying today. But I'll tell you, when I preach this word properly, it is the message of God. Don't ignore the message of God because of the messenger. You see, they made it personal. Jeremiah, you don't tell the truth, and you've been influenced by Baruch. We're ignoring Jeremiah. We're not ignoring God. And the Bible makes it clear. They ignored the voice of God. We will be held accountable with what we ignore and what we don't. I love this statement. A commentator by the name of Kidner said this. They had regarded God as a power to enlist, not a Lord to obey. And they still cannot believe that His will can be radically different from their own. Listen to that again. These people, Johanan, Azariah, he says, they had regarded God as a power to enlist. We want you to come along and do and help us with what we want to do. They had regarded God as a power to enlist, not a Lord to obey, and they still cannot believe that His will can be radically different than their own. Pretty powerful statement. I think when I read that, I was like, wow, how often do I do that? Lord, I want you to help me with what I want to do. Have I really sought the counsel of God? And I told you that story about Randy tonight. It's a rebuke of God, but it was the kindness of God. It was the mercy of God. I really believe this. I'm not saying this. I believe I sinned and I let Randy down by not seeing him these last 2 years. It was the mercy of God that allowed me to get back into his life. It was the mercy of God that cared enough for Randy to allow it as well. You see, I have to answer to the Lord. Randy thought I'd given up on him. I don't know if that's ever representing God well, if any believers, any lost people think I've given up on them. I have to make choices. I know I can't minister to everybody. Somehow I didn't listen to the voice of God. Somehow I missed it. Randy said he would have let me teach him. Remember, I went through a period about 4 months. This is several months ago. God's blessed. I have Bible studies with lost people again, and I'm thrilled about that. Went for a period of about 4 months, no Bible studies with lost people. I had them right in front of my eyes. And God's just reminding about that. Next time I begin to have a drought, I'm going to go back to my old list and I'm going to go back with desperation. But I didn't listen to the voice of God. I sinned. And I want God. I'm going to reevaluate my list of follow-ups and be a little bit more lovingly obnoxious. Make people fire you. Make people fire you. Right? I'm not worried. I'm not worried about people putting me off, but don't disobey the voice of the Lord. What is God wanting you to do? Do it. How many excuses can we have not to do what God wants us to do? I'll just tell you this, God's so good. He's going to wrestle with you. He's going to help you. You're His child. He's going to help you. But why don't we just listen in the first place? Third thing I want you to see here is leaders lead, dictators take. I just see this. It's look at this in verse 5. Maybe I'm making too much of this, but I it seems to be the Bible uses words for a reason. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whether they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. And he lists the people that he took. And so, you know, the only reason I do that is it's part of me that says this, leaders lead, dictators take. You know what I need to do? I need to lead. Yes, I need to encourage a little bit, but be someone worth following. I tell every single person this. And so Dakota, you guys know Dakota. Dakota, you pray for Dakota. And he's working second shift this week, so we haven't been able to have our Bible study this week. And so I love Dakota, so I don't think he'd mind me saying this. Dakota's a single young man. You know, he had that breakup. And it's devastating, you know, but I think it's of God. I think he's there, but devastating, right? And I told him this. I said, Dakota, I said, you need to make yourself the most eligible bachelor Christian. And I said, so if we had a magazine that said 2022 most eligible bachelor Christian, I said, I want you on the cover. And I said, I want to tell you this. You honor and serve the Lord, and God will take care of your desires. And so I tell everybody that. You know what? First, put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God knows your heart. Maybe He'll change your desires, because maybe our desires aren't always right. But delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. I think He'll change our desires to be His desires. And then when our desires are His desires, guess what? Anything you ask for, He'll give you. You understand that. I'm not going to preach the doctrine of that. But I'll tell you this. Be someone willing to follow. That some people be willing to follow. Lead. I will tell you this. No matter what you think of yourself, people are following you. There's people following you, people following you, people following you, people following you, people following you. You may not think so. Trust me, they are. People following you, people following you. You're having an impact. Oh, yeah. People following you. It's the reality. No man's an island unto himself. No woman's an island unto herself. We want to be able to lead. And that's this is the hardest part of parenting, is it not? Easy part of parenting is like, go to bed. Brush your teeth. Eat your green beans. Get a shower. Fix your hair. But then they become teenagers, and you're like, You know, spanking becomes, I think, an ineffective tool, right? I think there's a place for spanking. When they become young adults, it's my opinion, I think you need to become a better parent. Still discipline, right? Still discipline. And then that's hard, because it's always like, you know, condescending parenting's easier than coaching a young adult, right? Right? It's like, what do we do? What do we do? I don't know. Pray a lot. Pray a lot. Pray in love. Pray in love. Pray in love. And so it's more difficult, isn't it? It's easier to go, give me 20, soldier, rather than saying, follow me. And when they don't do what's right, you keep doing what's right. You keep loving them. You keep honoring Christ. And then maybe be surprised one day they'll follow you. I tell people this all the time. What should I do with the people that aren't doing what God wants them to do? What should I do as a pastor? Love them. Love them. Oh, to be clear, I'm going to love the people that are doing the work of God, and they're going to be closer to my heart. That's no doubt about it. And that's, I don't think that's anti-Bible. But the people that aren't engaged in the work of God the way I would want them to be, I need to love them, and they need to know they're loved by me, and they need to feel loved. They're not going to be the closest thing to me because I'm going to put my heart and soul into those that are doing the work, but I need to love all of God's sheep. That's important. And we need to do the same. Be a leader that's worth following, not just a dictator that gives out orders. I want you to see this. I want you to see God's mercy in his prophecy. Now, understand this. This is interesting. The Bible doesn't tell us this, but it's sort of history and little archaeology tells us this. It wasn't until 15 years later that Nebuchadnezzar comes through Egypt. What? Jeremiah looked like he's a liar. I mean, because, you know, when God makes a pronouncement, he says, thou shalt not, and you don't get shocked. You're like, it's really not that bad. You don't understand. It's not that bad. I put my finger in a light socket, and I didn't get shocked. Tell me. Keep trying it. And you will. 15 years later, right? God's mercy was in these pronouncements. I want to show you this. Look at verses 8 through 11. I call it this because it's demonstrating God's veracity. I like the word. I want you to get familiar with the word. It's that God's true through and through. He's veracious. It's his truth. Everything about it, at every angle that God could possibly illuminate his truth, he is true at every possible angle. Look at verses 8 through 11. He said, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tophonese, saying, take great stones in thine hand and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house at Tophonese in the sight of men of Judah. So he's putting these stones, these bricks at the entryway to Pharaoh's house, and he's doing it in front of this remnant. And I want you to know this, even though it would be 15 years, he's doing it so when it happens, they'll be like, I think it's the mercy of God. Maybe people that had doubted God for 15 years will be, they'll bow again. They'll bow again. Look at verse 10. And say unto them, and he's going to instruct them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as for death to death, and such as for captivity to captivity, and such as for the sword to the sword. There's no mention of this in history. This is true nonetheless. I don't have to have archaeology or history. But the interesting part is that his emphasis and his main destruction was on the eastern portion of Egypt, where Tophonese was. The second thing that I see God's mercy in is in demonstrating or providing the just rationale why he is against Egypt. God is not flippant. God doesn't go, and parents, there's times where you teach your kids, you don't ask, but then there's time you need to come back and explain. So, I mean, I tell people this. I don't argue with four-year-olds. Right? Hey, okay. Might talk about it later, but not now. Four-year-olds aren't allowed to ask me why.
Beverly, how old are you? Four.
That's what I thought. Anyway, it's all good. So we've got, you know, kids back in the house again. And just like old times, my wife does everything. So she's doing a great job. And it's great having the kids in the house. Randall, Rachel, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. But there needs to come back. I want you to understand this. You know what wisdom is? Coming back with your children and explaining, why did I do this? That's when you come back. Not in the heat of the moment, not in the moment of instruction. You should be able to tell your kids, do this. And they should do it. And then you come back later and say, hey, I want you to explain. You might think that's silly. Why did Dad tell you to do that? See, I think that's good. That's very important. And God tells them, why did I tell you not to go to Egypt? Because I'm prejudiced? No. I made red, yellow, black, and white. I'm the one that dispersed them at Babel in all the languages. Oh, it's deeper than that. It has to be their rebellion against me. It's not the color of their skin. It's not the way they talk. It's not where they live. It's how they treated me. And he tells them that in verse 12. And he said, I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And then it talks about Nebuchadnezzar, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth with from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. He's explaining to them, you know why I didn't want you to go to Egypt? You'll be corrupted by their false gods, by their culture, by everything they stand against. It's just not whimsical. You may not know why God gives instructions in the Bible, but it's always for our good. It's always best. I will tell you, there's so many examples where technology has allowed us to find out, why did God say that? We're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Right? And it just validates God. You know, you've known this. People didn't know how to wash their hands for most of human history. And so mortality rates were horrendous. They would go from an autopsy of a dead person to delivering a baby and wonder why babies died so often. Then they said, hey, maybe we should wash our hands. I know it says that in Leviticus, but that's the Bible. But maybe we should wash our hands. How about we'll wash our hands in a basin? How about running water and then hold your hands out to the sun? And I don't know, you don't know bacteria or anything, but maybe. God told them to wash your hands, hold your hands out in the sun. Do it 7 times. Let the sun bake the bacteria off your hands after you touch a dead person. Oh, running water. You see, the guy, I think I've told you this story before, and I'm just about to finish. The guy that was trying to instruct modern medicine, this is only about 250 years ago. Maybe it was 250 years, 300 years ago. But he was trying to instruct them. They wouldn't listen to him. He went insane. Because he knew children, people were dying because they just were too stubborn. What was it? Pride. To listen and change things. You see, it's God's instruction is always best. I think we should seek to understand why. Okay? But when you don't understand why, know that He always, Father knows best. Whatever He says is good. You see, they ignored it. How to make a mess of things? Think you know better than Him. I'm not preaching to you. I feel like I'm looking in the mirror. One of the worst things about getting old, and I'm not there, it's just somebody told me about it, is how much I've ignored. I will tell you, God's amazing, Isabella. He is worth obeying. He's worth getting to know. Everything He wants is for our good. He is your greatest blessing. I need to listen to Him more. Otherwise, I'll keep making a mess of things. Let's pray.